and welcome to Kiss the Crest, a weekly podcast where we talk about football news, football scores,
football soft drinks.
Football soft drinks. Drink me some of those. So
We're back.
I know, I'm sure you guys were missing us. We're on a week
hiatus.
Nobody
knew what happened.
So, I'm your host, Sean Thomas.
I'm Dave Linata.
I'm Rob Steller.
And this is the week of December 13th. So, we're going to go over, like usual, we're going to start with the scores of the week, and we'll probably touch on some from last week. All the league games, there were some big matches that happened and some table changes, so we're going to go into all of those. We're also going to talk about Champs League scores, because Champs League just finished up. And then, today we're going to talk about the Champs League draw instead of going on to a topic.
It's ridiculous.
There's just game after game.
It's rigged.
I don't know. We have a lot to talk about, though, so let's just get into it. So, we're going to start here in Germany. Now, every week we're always like, the Bundesliga, it's the same thing over and over and over again. Something actually changed.
I mean, does it really change anything? Probably not.
I actually think it does. Okay, so last week, Bayern Munich actually had their first loss of the season. Gladbach actually was able to beat them, and this was one of the few teams in all of Europe that was undefeated. This is Bayern Munich, and it was kind of a shock defeat, only because no one expected them to ever lose. But at the same time, it's also completely inevitable. This is going to happen at some time.
It took 16 games.
So now, at the same time, Dortmund has been steadily humming along. So this week, both teams were able to win. But the reason why I actually think this does actually change things is right now, as the table stands, the top two are far and away the big point leaders. There, no one's going to catch up to them, but they're only 5 points away from each other. That is a manageable lead.
I mean, Dortmund only has 2 losses and 2 draws to Bayern's 1 loss and 1 draw. Like that, both of those records are pretty remarkable
and
nearly halfway through the season.
Now, here's the thing: Dortmund still has to go to Munich, so that is going to be really tough. But if they somehow snatch a win in that, and you know, Munich slips up one or two times, that could change the league. So I actually think this is turning out to be interesting, and we'll get into this later, but a lot of the races are getting more and more interesting for different reasons.
Except for the French league.
Except for the league that we're going to talk about next.
Yeah.
So let's go over to Dave for the French league.
Yeah, so PSG is now the only team that's undefeated still. They have 15 wins, 3 draws, 0 losses.
Goal differential of 36.
They've allowed 9 goals in 18
That's
games.
Wild. Jeez. Less than
they are 17 points ahead of Angers in second. Monaco's tied, but in third. And then Cayenne, Nice, Lyon are all back a little bit. So PSG just keeps winning, keeps scoring. You know, not too much to talk about there. We're gonna kind of.
I mean, as easy as it has been overall, or it feels like that, you still got to give them credit for having that kind of record. It doesn't matter what league you're in, to keep at least some level of consistency that you can start winning. I mean, clearly the best team in that league, and I think the league is a little weak this year.
Definitely.
But still, you still have to week in, week out. You have to deal with injuries.
I mean, just to kind of give you an idea, PSG played Lyon this past weekend, and Lyon's usually one of the better teams. They beat them 5-1. And Lyon is not near the top of the table.
Yeah, this
right
year
now.
They're really not.
And Monaco got a 1-0 win, but really, I mean, that just kind of shows you how far PSG is ahead of any other team in the French league. So we're going to stop talking about that league.
But just one quick thing. Okay, so think about it. 3 points a game. If PSG lost, the next 5 games... they would still be ahead by 2 points. They could just keep losing and losing.
Yeah.
And that's assuming the other teams win every single game. It's absurd.
Oh,
like this is the cushion at some point where you're just like, it's getting close to mathematically impossible. And I should mention the second place team, their goal difference is 7. So you're looking at 36 versus 7. I mean, we say this every week. It's all about Champs League for them. But I still give them credit. It doesn't matter what league you're in. To do that, to have that kind of dominance is not easy. Yeah. So,
well, let's move on to more exciting leagues. Yeah, so Italy, Serie A. Every time we talk, there's new things happening, new leaders coming to the top of the table. I'll go over the results.
Milan is top of the table. Yeah, no one expected
talk,
that.
We're not going to talk about that. This past week, Lazio ended up falling back a little bit more, even drawing 1-1 to Sampdoria. Napoli had a big game against Roma this weekend. And I think actually there were 4 out of the top 5 teams played against each other this week, which it seems like every week I'm saying, oh, number one and number two, yeah, number two and three.
But it's different every time.
Every time it's something different. So they played out to a pretty physical encounter, as you would expect. Napoli actually looked a little bit better than Roma did, especially in the second half. Neither team was able to find a goal, though. That ended up 0-0, which hurts Napoli a little bit more. Roma was coming off a 1-1 draw with Torino the previous week. Napoli actually lost to Bologna 2-3, which is a little bit devastating for them, considering they were, you know, title contenders. Milan, oh man.
Big win this week.
You know, so coming off that win, against, it was a 4-1 against Sampdoria, you're like, oh, well, maybe Mihailovic is starting to get their shit together, and they're starting to put some results. They're starting to look good in attack, even though, you know, they haven't had Menez and Balotelli yet. And then they go to Carpi last week, and they could not find a goal. 0-0. That was really depressing. Make matters worse, they go to Hellas Verona, which is another... Both of those teams are relegation teams now. And
Hellas Verona is 20th.
De Jong finally gets a start under Mihailovic and ends up getting a red card, which I was like...
which is pretty standard for him.
No, it's really not, though. It's really
he
not.
He gets some vicious tackles.
He does he not get that many physical, reds. No.
I'm not saying he gets reds, but he's a physical...
I was super excited to have him on the field, and then just makes a clumsy through-the-back challenge in the box right after we finally scored. Baka had a pretty nice poke goal. Gave up the PK, went down a man. You know, there's not much to say. I mean, I think we're playing Frosinone next. So like, these are all three of the bottom three teams, and you're like, all right, here's 9 points. This is going to put us back into Champions League contention spots, especially the way the other teams are playing, and drop four easy points right now.
I think there's one thing we can say: at least you're not Chelsea.
Honestly, it's not that much better at this point.
Well. You know, but okay. I mean, yeah, it's, I don't think it's looking great. And it feels like the team also needs some energy. I mean, you guys still need more players, and it seems weird. The purchases you guys have made,
it's injuries. Honestly, it's injuries and it's red cards and suspensions and just stupid stuff that we should be able to overcome. Especially, you know, we have a somewhat deep roster compared to a lot of the other teams in Serie A right now. And It's form. I'm pretty sure Inzaghi had the same number of points last year as Mihailovic does. And this is three straight seasons now, and we just seem to be sliding further and further behind and not making up ground, you know. And obviously they're going to come out and make all these promises and every year and say, oh, you know, this is the different, this is, we're going to get Champions League, da da da. And none of it's coming together. So anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about some of the...
I think there's some interesting stories in Serie A right now.
There is. So Inter, coming off of a 1-0 win over Genoa a week ago, played against Udinese, very struggling Udinese side this year, dominated 4-0, which solidified their spot at the top of the table at the end of the week. Juve is the big story now. You know, had a horrendous start, one of the worst starts in decades.
Yeah.
Have really started to turn around. Dybala is looking absolutely amazing right now. Pogba is playing some brilliant football as always.
Where's Dybala from? Is he, I don't even remember, but I mean,
he's having such a breakout year. Juve was playing against Fiorentina. Juve was coming off of a good 2-0 win off of Lazio, and Fiorentina coming off of a 3-0 win over Udinese, and Juve got the win 3-1 after Fiorentina went up on a third-minute penalty. Juve was able to come back, goal in the 6th minute from Cuadrado, and further goals from Mandzukic.
He's Argentinian. Argentina Dybala doesn't need any more forwards.
No, they don't need forwards. They've got enough. So where does that leave us? So at the end of this week... Inter is pulling away a little bit, now has a 4-point lead at the top of the table, 36 points after 16 games. Fiorentina behind with 32, Napoli also with 32, both on 16 goal differential too. Juve has creeped up into fourth place, is now 30 points, only 2 points back from Champions League spot, only 6 back from being title contending. Roma's back with 29 points, Sassuolo 26, Milan with 25. So, you know,
I mean, I think so. So the interesting thing to me with Inter is, I think, I don't think before the season people were thinking that they had much that strong.
They struggled last year.
And I don't think they still look all that amazing, but something, Mancini's doing something, because clearly 36 points, I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, the goal difference isn't ridiculous, but it's up there. No, and well, consider, they deserve to be where
maybe
they
not
are.
Compared to France.
Yeah.
But I mean, in Italy, I mean, they have the second highest, right? I mean, obviously, you know, outside
they're tied for third. So Inter, I think, is getting those wins. I mean, they've had some big wins here and there. They're not the team I expected, but whatever. They clearly have some winning formula. You look at Napoli, I mean, there's some really good strikers. Like, Higuain has been doing really, really well. I don't know too much about Fiorentina, but them sticking up, they're not really going away. And then Juventus, I mean, it wasn't that long ago we were talking about they were in the bottom 10, and now all of a sudden they're
doing what Chelsea should have been doing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
the exact same position as Chelsea early on after the first few games, and they've been able to turn it around.
I think Roma is an interesting one, too, because Roma had so much potential. Last year they did so well, and they thought, this is the year they're going to win the Scudetto. And then the other thing, I've been hearing a lot of things about how the Roma ultras have been really hammering
them. They've been very critical.
Very vocal, very critical. Because, I mean, they've had a string. Okay, they got destroyed by Barcelona in Champions League, and then they almost got knocked out by Bate Borisov, which they should destroy. I mean, that shouldn't even be a question. But they made it through, but they have Real Madrid next, so that's not going to be good. Yep. But then, you know, them just imploding. They could have – this is a time when they probably could have taken the league if they had a strong –
But you can make that case for anybody right now.
You could.
Right?
But I mean, feel with Roma, at least from last year, they had –
They had momentum up until the second half of the season, and then about two-thirds of the way of the season, they just started dropping points, and then they allowed Juve to slip away. But now that Juve's not, or at least didn't have the start that they had last year, you know, you expected Roma was probably the top contender early on in the season, and Fiorentina, obviously, with their opening results. And now it's Inter has been the one who's been able to be consistent. And now you have Juve.
Yeah, do you think it'll be Juve again?
Honestly, like,
it might be. They still have a really strong squad.
Honestly, I think they have the strongest squad in Serie A, hands down. And
they lost key players, but they still got some good players.
And they managed to keep Pogba, which was one. And obviously Dybala is having a fantastic season. And you know, they have the players there in order, you know, that they need to go on and win. So
I don't know. I think it'll be interesting if Juve wins. It'll be a little disappointing to see this much competition only to have Juve win. But
I don't want Juve to win another successive title. But, you know, at least it's not boring. It's not the French League. It's not
Juve
already won like the last 3 years, and now I don't care anymore.
It's kind of insane. I can't remember the last time
It's very entertaining. So.
Anyway, let's move on to La Liga. So La Liga had some interesting results, too. I think the theme of this week is I honestly think every race except Ligue 1 is starting to heat up, even the ones that were a little less interesting. Yep. I mean, we'll talk about the Premier League. That's still up in the air. We'll get into that. But, you know, Serie A has always been up in the air. But the Bundesliga is getting a little bit closer, and there were some interesting results in La Liga in that Barcelona, not too long ago, was 4 points ahead of Atletico Madrid and 6 points up on Madrid after the thrashing at El Clasico. They drew last week, and they drew again this week. They weren't easy games. One game was versus Valencia. One game was versus Deportivo La Coruña, who's actually in sixth. So they're not easy teams, but at the same time, I mean, this weekend, Barcelona just threw away the lead. They went up 2-0. You just thought, I mean, it was Messi and Rakitic. Rakitic had this rocket of a goal, and you just thought, this is over. Yeah. They're just going to pass around. Yeah. But then in the last, like, 15, 20 minutes, they just didn't care, and they let up 2 goals pretty quickly in succession. They were good goals, but either way, it's stupid leads you can't give up. They're still in first because they had that cushion, but Atletico has been they've been winning, so now they're actually tied with Barcelona on points, but they're still behind on goal difference, and it's in La Liga, head-to-head is more important than goal difference if you're tied. So we have a head-to-head on them. Now, Madrid, they won the week before, and they destroyed, which we'll talk about, they destroyed Malmo in Champions League 8-0. And you're thinking, oh, maybe they're finding their form. Ronaldo had four goals. Madrid played Villarreal this week. Villarreal is a strong team. After this result, they're in fifth, and they are a strong team. but Madrid didn't have a single shot. Or sorry, they only had one shot on target. The first half, Villarreal could have had like two or three goals. Villarreal ended up winning it 1-0, but this is kind of insane. And I think, so we're seeing the two top sides kind of pull away a little bit. Barcelona and Atletico are fighting it out. I don't think Atletico has the depth. I keep jumping back and forth. The one thing I want to say about the Atletico, though, Antoine Griezmann, just a ridiculous player. It's going to be huge if Atletico can keep him, because people are going to want to buy him. This guy is absurd, but apparently he really likes Diego Simeone and the way he's molding him. So we'll have to see how that works out. But anyway, Barcelona and Atletico still are higher up. Madrid, I have no idea what's going on with the squad that they have, and they have some injuries, but basically everybody's back. They have Benzema, Bale, Ronaldo. They have James back. They have Modric back. They have Cruz. Navas is still in there. Mm-hmm. And they're just putting up just pretty average or bad results. They got destroyed by us in the Clasico. You would think that would put some kind of spark, but then this week, I mean, they were just poor. The second half, they looked a lot better, but they missed some chances. There was Bale had a really good cross at Benzema. I mean, it was point blank, although it was tough because it was going at speed, while they were in stride. But still, these are games you expect to put away. And I have to admit, one element of it that you're not really seeing, and this isn't just the Barcelona fan to me, but Ronaldo really hasn't shown up in the way you expected him to. He doesn't have that many goals, and you thought while Messi was injured, he would start scoring like crazy because that, that feeling of, I want to get ahead of Messi, but right. He really didn't, and he didn't score over the weekend, and he had some chances, but either way, all of Madrid didn't look good, and so this points to what the hell is going to happen with Benitez. No one was in support of Benitez at the beginning of the year. And because for obvious reasons, I mean, first of all, you're kicking out Ancelotti, who's beloved. I mean, it'd be different if there was a crappy coach, but it was Ancelotti who won them La Decima, and he's just a good manager. Then you put in Rafa Benitez, who's known as defensive.
Yeah.
Real Madrid is not a defensive team.
Move. I still don't understand.
And he hasn't done really anything since maybe Liverpool. I don't know what
they expect. Did they really expect him to do something?
I have no idea what they expected. And you know what was even worse? Benitez wants to play defensive, but you can tell the Madrid supporters want offense.
Yeah.
So sometimes he's forced to play some crazy offensive team. This is essentially what happened in El Clasico. And you just have, there's no identity. And I don't think he has a connection with a lot of the players. I don't think he's that close to Ronaldo. And one player you have to be friends with is Ronaldo. He's the key to that team, both in terms of goal scoring and just he is just the most important star by far. So you're seeing a lot of pressure, and there's a question on two people, the coach and Florentino Perez, who's their president, because yep. He's making all the buying decisions. But we've talked about a lot of we will get into a lot of managerial hot seats. I think this is one of the bigger ones. I think it's almost the way they're playing, I can't see them winning the league at all, and it's left to Champs League. I don't see how they're going to win Champs League at this rate. They were fortunate to beat PSG when they did, because I do think PSG deserved the win. But we're looking at a team that just seems out of sorts. They don't have an identity. They have some of the best players in the world, and they're not even close to what their potential is. I don't know where they go from here. I think they have to get a new coach. Madrid, they flip their coach a lot. They've been switching they've gone from coach to coach, although I don't think they typically fire midseason. I don't know that for sure, though. So he might stay till the end of the year because they're still third. They're not Chelsea, but we'll have to see.
They're only 5 points back.
Yeah, it's not a disaster. I think the more important thing is they don't look good. With the players they have, with the money they've spent, with the talent they have, they should be higher than that. And if they can't beat Barcelona or Atletico Madrid, then it doesn't matter how many points you have. I mean, you're just not going to do anything. And while we have been drawing and we've been giving up silly points, the first half of our season was by far the hardest because we had some really big away games. Atletico Madrid, we had Real Madrid, I believe Seville was away. We had most of our toughest games were away. So the second half will be decidedly easier. The only tough thing is second half of the season, you also got to think about Champs League and things like that. But either way, right now, if you look at the table, Barcelona is still first, but they're tied. So Atletico's still there, and we'll see what happens. But I think it's still looking good for the Blaugranas. So then let's move on to the last league. Let's go on to the Premier League.
Not a whole lot, actually.
Yeah.
So this past weekend, we had a big upset.
Clubs. Both my little clubs.
Manchester United lost 2-1 to Bournemouth.
After Bournemouth. After they beat Chelsea.
Yeah.
2-1. Yeah, Bournemouth actually beat Chelsea last week, too. So this stretch here, Chelsea, Man U, I mean, for a team that just got promoted to beat, you know, two of the best
teams relegation in the past, team. You
know, yeah, yeah, they were not that good.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah. So that was definitely, I'd say, the biggest
top upset. Four?
I it got them out of relegation, though.
We'll get back
and put them ahead of Chelsea, actually.
Oh my God, we're yeah.
Everton drew Norwich City 1-1. Southampton lost again to Crystal Palace 1-0. They've been doing
Crystal Palace
bad.
Has been doing really well.
Yeah, yeah, they've had a good
Crystal Palace has been ridiculous.
Southampton's kind of been pretty poor the past several games. City got a 2-1 win over Swansea. Mm-hmm. Watford beat Sunderland 1-0. West Ham and Stoke had a very entertaining 0-0 draw. And then those were the Saturday games. Sunday, Arsenal continued to win. They won 2-0 against Aston Villa. Liverpool drew West Brom, a 2-2 game. That was another.
Oh, we have some stuff to talk about that with, too.
Klopp, man. He's, Klopp effect. He cannot have his consistency.
And then Newcastle got a very good win. They're in the relegation zone.
Not anymore.
So So they're in the relegation battle, I would say. They got a big win, 2-1 against Tottenham. So that was a big win for them to try to get them out. They did get them up, but keep them out of that relegated spot. So, yeah, back to a couple of the big teams, I would say. I mean, we'll talk about the game Monday. Leicester beat Chelsea 2-1.
Yes. Well, let's talk about the big four. Leicester, Crystal Palace.
West Ham.
West Ham. You know, we gotta stick to the big guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Man U game against Bournemouth was just brutal. Man U's decimated by injuries right now. Yeah, they can't
score.
They're
starting defense.
They can't score all year. They haven't scored.
I mean, how young were the guys that started? I mean, it's
embarrassing. I mean, with the guys that they have injured, though, I mean, you can't expect good outcomes from starting these.
You can still expect to beat Bournemouth.
Dude, Bournemouth had a better starting defense than Man U did this past year.
It doesn't matter. Bournemouth had five guys out as well. So
well, the problem is Man U can't score. So if your defense
I'm just
sucks,
saying,
and you
I'm just
can't
saying,
score.
When you look at that, you look at that line. You look at the going into the game. No matter who Man United puts out, you should be betting for Man United,
especially after the Champions League loss, knowing that they were going to be without all their players. Ridiculous. No, I mean
it's unacceptable.
So okay,
it's an unacceptable.
Bigger picture here.
At this point, it's not. I don't think.
Bigger picture with Man U, we're seeing not doing well in Europe. Grinding out wins in the Premier League, but definitely not looking exciting or, you know, convincing. But they are getting some wins here and there. We got to talk about the coach. And I heard one pundit say this, and I think a lot of people, the pressure is getting to Van Gaal, I think, or pressure is mounting on him. And I think people are kind of at the point where they're end of their wits, almost, or at that point. And I liked one thing that the pundit said. This Man United team honestly looks unrecognizable. When you think of the club that Alex Ferguson built, this just, they're not that exciting to watch. I don't even think they have that many stars.
Well, that's the thing.
I don't get what's going on, and I think it all comes back to Van Gaal.
With their starting roster, they're not really recognizable. I mean, they still have a good team, but so not only with their starters are unrecognizable, but now they got 18-year-old Cameron Borthwick-Jackson playing in a Champs League game, starting a game. You got Guillermo Varela, who's he's probably had his first two games of his career. And again, in the Champs League, deciding games.
Representing Manchester United, one of the richest clubs in the world.
Blind, McNair, Varela, and Borthwick-Jackson starting defense. You're without Rooney. You're without Phil Jones. Smalling, Schneiderlin. I mean, you're without tons of players that normally would be, you know, good, not great, good. And you're playing Bournemouth, who, I mean, their defenders, Francis, Charlie Daniels, Adam Smith, and Steve Cook have way more experience than any of these Man U guys, minus Blind, who is...
I mean, don't get me wrong. Injuries are always bad, but let's... I just forget the injuries for a second, because I honestly feel like it ends up being some kind of excuse. This Man U as a whole, I feel like, have not been... They're not Man U. Like,
no, I know.
I don't think anyone can be Ferguson. Like, Ferguson is just somebody else, but... I mean, I don't see anything that positive about Van Gaal. They're not.
I mean, the thing that stinks is that, you know, again, with all the guys they have, regardless of injuries, they're not. When they were healthy, they weren't winning games. They weren't scoring goals. That's been their huge thing under Van Gaal. They can't score. They're not fun to watch. They don't set anything up. And
you say that, but they have 32 goals this season. I mean,
it's not a lot.
What are you talking? It's second highest in the league right now.
No, they have 21.
Oh, sorry,
goals.
Sorry. I'm looking at Manchester City.
Yeah,
just kidding.
anyway,
Crystal Palace has the same number of goals.
So they're not scoring goals. They're not fun to watch. So I mean, again, and you get rid of all their good defenders, and you put in these guys who can't even play. What do you expect? What do you expect against any Premier League team? Like, you can't score, and you're playing guys that don't play.
A couple things to talk about. So, and I agree. Okay, these weren't all bad sales, but you think about Chicharito. He's now third or fourth in the Bundesliga. He's just scoring like crazy. You have Angel Di Maria, which I don't actually have to check. I don't know how well he's doing at PSG, but. He's still a top player. I don't know. Maybe there was just a falling out. I don't know what would happen. But you see some of these players, and also I feel like Rooney, also it's coaching too. I mean, Rooney's getting older, but there's a way certain coaches can get things out of players. Actually, a perfect parallel to this is last year Ronaldo was scoring like crazy under Ancelotti. This year he's doing very poorly. And honestly, don't get me wrong, Ronaldo is getting older, but Ronaldo is the definition of somebody who exercises nonstop. So my point of saying any of this is coaches also really influence individuals, and you're just not even seeing the best individuals bringing out their talent. And
anyway, so Man U's just, they're going to continue to fall, drop points. I mean, they're out of the title contention in my
it's
book.
6 points.
Dude, they have
also
two
the
games.
Way they play. No, but the way they play,
you cannot say
so,
they're
so,
out.
So they are. So with their roster, they're not getting Luke Shaw back anytime soon. They're not getting half these guys that are injured. They're out for more than like a game. So if you're gonna start Borthwick Jackson and Varela and Paddy McNair every freaking game, and you're losing to Bournemouth, how are you gonna beat any other team in the Premier League?
I mean, I
on
don't
a consistent
know.
Basis and not draw points.
I don't know how small teams like United can face teams like Leicester City. These big guys, like, they're just spending.
Anyway, at this rate, there's no way United can contend. Absolutely no way.
Two questions.
Unless everybody gets healthy and LVG just continues. Or doesn't continue to
you
play
make,
the way they
you
are.
You make a couple of big signings in January, and honestly,
but
like
that's what they've been doing for a couple of years.
You can't say that. You can't say that 6 points out. Manchester United.
The only reason why I think they can do it is just because it seems like everybody's losing here and there. But just a quick thing, two things. Okay,
you know who's not losing?
Well, okay, January window's coming up. Would you, if you were, I don't even know, like the Glazers? I don't actually know who like the sporting.
Probably the Glazers. The Man U would be in first place right now with a sick roster.
So would you get rid of Van Gaal, thinking about who's available? You would. So who would you try to
get? So, they're not gonna get Pep. So that's
Pep will
that's
stay till
not gonna
year,
happen.
So
exactly. And even then LVG should be gone anyway. So the thing is who you're gonna replace him with.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't think it really matters at this point.
Of course it does.
I mean, they're out of Champs League. They're not gonna win Europa League. They're not, in my book, gonna get top two in the Premier League. They could, but they're very unlikely to. So, I mean, you have to replace him with somebody who can attempt to like get everybody together and try to improve. But, I mean, again, who are you going to get? I mean, you mentioned Ancelotti. It's taking time off. But, I mean, if he got offered the job, I don't think he would turn it down.
I mean, it's a huge job to turn down.
So he would be probably one of the few guys. I don't know who else they could snag that's not, you know, not coaching right now.
I don't know
enough of the open, like, the coaches that are available.
I think it's the lack of availability will keep Van Gaal on his spot.
So you figure, you know, if not Ancelotti, end of the year, who? Pep? I don't think he's going to go to Man U. I mean, they're saying
I think he's
going to
move.
Have
but...
like a connection, so maybe I don't know.
Actually, so the rumor, and I'm pretty sure they admitted this, Ferguson did ask Pep first, but then Pep ended up going to Munich. But
You know, I mean, obviously, who else is out there? I mean, what is OVG doing with his roster? They're bringing in like two guys is going to change anything.
No, I agree with that. I mean, the thing is, and also, even if you bring in great players, if you don't have a coach that's going to bring that feeling.
So they need a combination of a couple guys, A, based on injuries, B, based on just guys not playing the way they should, and a new coach.
I know who will be available in January. Mourinho.
Mourinho. That would be very interesting, but it's not going to happen.
Imagine if they sack Mourinho.
Swapped. Just like, hey, let's just swap teams.
But I kind of agree. So I'm pretty sure Pellegrini is going to be done at the end of the year, too. So
Pep's
going
to go
question.
To City if he leaves.
Pep, I think he'll go to one of the two. I'm pretty sure he's going to leave. No, my God. He would never do that. But So... I think when it comes down to it, they're going to go to one of those two. In my opinion, I don't think Van Gaal's going to... The reason why he's stayed there that long is because he has that reputation. Right. He has done and well elsewhere. But I just don't think there are enough great coaches. I think Ancelotti is the only option, and I think Ancelotti, I don't know if he wants to right now. The rumors are that he actually wants to stay, you know, abroad, or he wants to take a year off, actually. So
yeah, so the signings will be interesting. I mean, if Man U somehow gets Bale, Ronaldo in the January window, you know, maybe they'll have a chance, but it's not going to happen.
I hope they get Bale. I feel bad for Bale for whatever reason, but I hope he comes back to the Premier League where he fits in.
All right, so where does this leave us in the Premier League?
Yeah, so in terms of the table, where does it leave us? City is on top, I believe, right?
Leicester City.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I got that right.
Yeah.
Leicester City's on top by 2 points now.
Say it again. Leicester City.
Leicester City is on top. First place. They have one loss.
This is not.
To Arsenal. This is the only loss they've had all year.
The fourth week. This is not.
You're right. So, the 10th week. Yes. No, we're almost halfway. That said, they do have City and. And who else do they have? Liverpool.
They have some tough games coming up again. They have
Everton, City, and Liverpool coming up.
So their hardest stretch of games is
But they've already passed two tests. Yeah.
The thing is with them is that looking at the table, they score the most goals, but they also allow the most. So it's kind of – that's pretty risky. If you allow a ton of goals and you score a lot, like if you just don't score one game, you're screwed.
I think if there's any year that a team like Leicester can win, it's this year. Because be honest,
I want to see it, the big thing is going to come down to can they keep Mahrez, can they keep Vardy in January? That's going to be the big thing.
I think they can keep him in January. I don't think they can keep him
in the summer.
I think people will try to buy him in.
I mean, these are guys that like combined were bought for like a million and a half that are probably worth about like 40 combined right now.
Like I know obviously
teams will overpay for them.
When money comes, you obviously sell. But I think I don't know. There's some spirit about this that I think they'll want to see the full year out. I don't know what it is.
I think you're right.
Leicester's never seen anything like that.
I think you're right.
This is something that's never happened. Yeah. So I feel like there's – because the club still has to want to sell them.
You're right.
And they want to be sold. So I don't know. Yeah, I feel like they're probably going to keep it up.
I mean, yeah, you look at the top scorers in the league right now, right? Vardy's got 15, Lukaku has 12, and Mahrez has 11.
Yeah, you know what would be interesting? Two of the top three are absolutely certain. You know, Leicester should buy a few guys in January to make
sure they buy Lukaku, and then they got the top three.
No, I mean, if Leicester improved a little bit in January, I mean, they're already in first place, but if they got a couple other guys, pieces that just allowed them to win the Premier League somehow, that would be interesting. I mean, I think they'll purchase a guy or two.
One problem is I don't know completely, but I don't think winning the league necessarily – well, they probably get more money, but maybe not enough money to necessarily like overhaul the team that they need.
No, I mean eventually to stay in the Premier League, if Vardy and Mahrez are going to leave, which they are, they're going to have to get a lot of money for them to buy new guys to replace them.
I mean, Vardy has been absolutely absurd, and same thing Mahrez.
Did you see Mahrez's goal this week?
Yeah, it was great.
First of all, the pass he had into Vardy.
It was ridiculous, too.
Right in between two defenders. Granted, Chelsea's defense was garbage.
Well, we'll cut into that next. But whatever. You still, even individually, to be able to pull that off, and that second shot, I mean, wasn't it outside of the foot? Like, it was like
It was inside, but he cut back like three times. Yeah. Mahrez in
the
box.
He's very awkward the way he runs. Ridiculous. Too. Yeah, but like, the way he plays
is
really
on the ball, like, he's so, so he's unbelievable.
So, yeah, Leicester's in first. They have 35 points now, one loss. They're in first place by 2 points. Arsenal's in second. With 33,
Is this going to be the year for Arsenal?
Man City's got 32, so they're 3 points out. So basically, one loss out of first place.
And they have a game coming up.
True. United's in fourth with 29, so they're 6 points back. Tottenham's 3 points behind Man U in the last Europa spot. So Tottenham's been slipping up a bit. So Tottenham's 9 points out of first right now. Yep. Palace is after that.
They have Watford, a lot of draws.
Only Watford's been impressive as a promoted team. They're in seventh.
Yep.
Liverpool, you know, they started to creep up a little. Now they're kind of...
I don't know how they destroyed City, and now they're like...
Yeah.
And Chelsea still...
Chelsea. Can we talk about this? Chelsea is one point out of relegation right now. What happens if they get relegated?
And Sunderland is actually only 3 points back. So that's
About tarnishing careers, right?
Has any team ever won a league? And I mean, I don't know why you would know this, but won a league and then got relegated?
I highly doubt it. Not in the Premier League.
Definitely not a team with the stature of Chelsea. Like this is.
Well, Dortmund kind of did, right?
They went low, but they didn't get relegated. No, they didn't win the league, and they weren't this much better than everybody else.
Yeah.
I think the crazy thing with Chelsea, it's like in the same way you think of Leicester. Okay, this is in the 5th week. This is in the 10th week. This is the 16th week. Same thing with Chelsea. This isn't the 5th week. This isn't the 10th week. This is the 16th week. They're still losing. They've lost, what is it? I think they lost 9 games. Yeah, they lost 9 games out of 16 games.
Yeah.
That means they've only, how many wins? They only have four wins.
1 out of 4 games.
This is the same exact team, including the coach, that won the league easily last year.
Yep.
Now,
-8 goal
difference. There are bigger things too, and I honestly can't. This definitely hurts Mourinho's legacy. You're seeing these players just don't want to play for him right now, and the rift is clear.
Can he get fired midseason? This is unprecedented.
It's never happened. I mean, I think Abramovich is friends with him, but Abramovich is not.
Abramovich doesn't
have patience.
He doesn't give chances.
But he also knows. I mean, what are they going to get? Ancelotti back? Like, does he have?
Ancelotti. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time, right? I mean, it's a club he's familiar with. I think we talked about this, right? Ancelotti said he wants to take a full year off, so I don't know.
I don't know if he's going to go back. They could just do an interim manager like they did with Di Matteo.
Pep.
Those are the other options. I mean. I think both Manchester clubs and Chelsea are going to be looking at Pep. I'm pretty sure Pep is going
to
leave.
I would love to see Pep in Premier League, though.
I mean, I think he's always said he wanted to go to the Premier League. Now, here's the question, though.
See what happens with Klopp. Didn't work out so well.
We'll see. Klopp is very, very early on, and they have a pretty poor team. But so the other thing is...
9th place poor?
what team would, if you're Pep, would you want to go to? Because you have to think, no matter what, with the stature you have, you don't want to go to a shit club. So you really have to think about, I mean, Man U definitely has the most money. I would argue that I would say City probably has the strongest squad. I don't know. Chelsea should have one of the strongest squads. I don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
But this is the same team as last year. What are we talking about? We got
a great squad.
You got Costa, Fabregas, Hazard, Terry, Courtois. Like, they have some of the best players. Anyway, so who would you choose? I mean, Man U will give you as much money as you want. City and Chelsea offer you
honestly,
probably the best
team. I think you let them play out the season. Like, yeah, I mean, honestly, they're not going to get relegated. It would be
it's
pretty far fetched for them.
Imagine if they
get relegated. So I think at this point, you just let Mourinho play out this season. I don't know what his contract looks like. Like, just for example, like Milan is still paying Inzaghi and Seedorf because of their contracts.
Oh, really?
So like, that's another consideration. Even if you cut Mourinho now, you're still paying a salary, right? So I don't know what his contract looks like, if it's at the end of the year or whatever. But you know, I don't think you fire him midseason. I think you just let him play it out.
The one caveat, though, and I think this is a main difference between him and Van Gaal. I think, you know, Van Gaal's Man U are kind of boring, but I don't feel like he completely fell out with the team. It seems like none of the players want to play for him. He's throwing players out under the bus. I think this weekend he said Azar took himself off. And as a coach, you don't say that, because if it's an injury, it's
gonna
like
get
you're bits saying
thrown
that he's,
at him, man.
So, yeah, I mean, even those little things, I don't think the players want to play for him, and that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Because once you get that rift,
it's a little bit different.
But, yeah, you're right. No one has ever fired Mourinho. We'll have to see what happens.
You know, games coming up, not huge games, but Everton-Leicester play on Saturday. That'll be a good game.
By the way, quick thing. According to the ESPN SBI, Leicester was, before the season, 5,000 to 1 to win the Premier League.
Now
they're like 20 to 1.
Could have bet $1.
5,000 to 1. But keep going.
So yeah, Chelsea Sunderland relegation battle Saturday.
Yeah,
Leicester,
like, come on.
Leicester Everton big games. United plays City Sunday. Not too much. Liverpool-Watford would be okay. And then the Monday game is the Arsenal-City game, Manchester City game.
That'll be a good game.
In terms of Italy, I think there's really only Lazio.
Lazio and Inter, yeah.
I think that's probably one of the few Europe, you know, across the league big games. Yep. I'm pretty sure the Spain teams don't have any
top team matchups. We finished the year.
In Germany either.
We were actually on break. I'm pretty sure that was our last game of the year.
All right, so let's move on to Champs League since we missed last week. So I'm going to run through some of the big results. I'll just cherry pick here. Madrid 8-0 over Malmo. Ronaldo had what, four goals that game?
Four goals, yeah.
So I think he broke a record for group stage record, right?
He had
11 goals.
He had 11 goals, but did you hear what he said after?
No.
He goes, "I don't break records. Records find me."
Oh, get him!
Chelsea got a win 2-0 over Porto, which was pretty big considering they haven't been able to beat anybody.
Knock Porto out.
Arsenal got a very necessary 3-0 win over Olympiacos.
Giroud with the hat trick. Yep.
Arsenal, man, they've been flying under the radar, I feel, but they've been getting the results right now. And I
think Sanchez is still injured, and he's probably their best player. So
Roma drew 0-0 to Bate. Man, Roma, you know, continuing that mediocre form into the Champs League. Barca drew 1-1 to Bayer Leverkusen, which I think ended up saving Roma, right?
I think Bayer Leverkusen had won,
Roma would have been knocked out.
Yeah, Leverkusen got, even though they drew, Barcelona still got knocked out.
Juve lost to Sevilla 1-0, although that didn't matter as much. Although City winning 4-2 convincingly over Mönchengladbach gave them first place in the group, so that was pretty big for them. But
we'll get into the draw. That did make a big difference.
Yeah, it did make a very big difference. Probably the most meaningful, sorry Dave, score of the week was definitely Man United losing 2-3 to Wolfsburg.
That was a crazy game.
Getting knocked out.
Again, they're United's missing guys. Wolfsburg clearly, I think, is been playing way better than Man U. So it was going to be a tough game to begin with, and it was a good game. Man U scored first, I believe, right?
I think so.
And it was quickly tied up, and then Wolfsburg took control and scored a couple more.
So just to wrap this up, I know once we come back from the break, we'll talk about the draw for this and the implications. Just to wrap up the groups, Group A, Madrid with 16 points and PSG with 13 move on. Shakhtar and Malmo with 3. You know, that was kind of a foregone conclusion a long time ago. Group B, which was probably the most interesting group, was Wolfsburg with 12, PSV with 10, and Manchester United with 8 going down to Europa League. Group C, Atletico Madrid taking that with 13, Benfica with 10, Galatasaray and Astana getting knocked out. Group D, Manchester City ended up edging over Juve with during the last game, so Manchester City gets top spot, Sevilla getting knocked down to Europa League, and Mönchengladbach leaving the tournament. Barcelona winning Group E, as we expected. Roma just edging out over Bayer Leverkusen. I guess it's on head-to-head, right? Because they drew on points.
Yeah.
And Bate getting knocked out. Group F, we have Bayern Munich winning the group, 15 points. Arsenal, again, tying with Olympiacos, but getting the head-to-head result. So Arsenal going through, Olympiacos down to Europa League. G, we saw Chelsea winning the group, somewhat surprisingly given their form. Dinamo Kiev actually getting that second spot and Porto going down to Europa League.
But it was down to the last day. There was a possibility that Chelsea could go out. So,
Which is unfortunate for me and Italy. Group H, Zenit St. Petersburg, which looked very good. Only lost one game.
Zenit had a ridiculous goal, too.
The surprise of Champs League, Ghent going through.
Well, they were early favorites. So,
yes, of course. And Valencia going down to Europa and Lyon getting knocked out altogether.
I'll be totally honest. I don't even know where Ghent's from. What are they champions of?
It might be Denmark.
Are they in, like, I actually kind of want to figure this out.
Yeah,
because
I'm sure it's Denmark.
Let's see. Belgium. KAA Ghent, Belgian Pro League.
There you go. We prepare for the show. We still don't even know who they are.
Wow. Look at their, for those who can't see, their mascot or their symbol looks like a Native American.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So that's going to do it. We will take a break. And when we come back, we will talk about the draw of Champions League.
Kiss the Crest is part of the Commentist Network, which is a collection of great podcasts covering a wide range of topics, from tech news to music to Dungeons and Dragons to veganism and positive living. For more information about Kiss the Crest or to check out our other great shows, go to thecommentist.com.
Okay, and welcome back to the second half. So like we said earlier, instead of a topic, we're going to go over the Champions League draw, which just happened recently. So since the group stages are finished, it goes out into the knockout phase. The only rules basically is whoever topped the group will only face the teams that got in second place.
Yep. You can't get your country.
Yeah, you can't get the same country.
You can't get country and you can't get the group you were in.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, yeah, of course. So looking at the matchups, I'm just going to list up all the matchups and then we can go into them more in depth. So first there's Ghent from Belgium versus Wolfsburg in Germany. Roma from Italy versus Real Madrid. Then Paris Saint-Germain versus Chelsea, Arsenal versus Barcelona, Juventus versus Bayern Munich, PSV from the Netherlands versus Atletico Madrid, Benfica from Portugal versus Zenit from Russia, and then Dynamo Kiev is Ukrainian versus Man City. So I guess just going top to bottom in the list, I said Ghent versus Wolfsburg. I think the interesting thing is just Ghent.
See how Ghent does.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
Honestly,
about
this
it.
Is probably this there. Is probably one of the better draws they could have gotten.
Yeah,
I mean they. I would say either Wolfsburg or Benfica, maybe, or probably the two draws, or maybe Dynamo Kiev. I mean, honestly, this is a pretty good draw for them. I mean, yeah. if they're going to make a run somehow, this is pretty favorable.
I don't see them getting very far, and Wolfsburg is a strong team.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. They
so,
are.
But hey, we'll watch the football anyway. Well, yeah. We'll watch the highlights. So then Roma versus Real Madrid.
Madrid. This
is interesting in weird ways, though. I mean, okay, clearly Madrid is far better than
there's
Roma.
There's no way.
And I think the sad thing is I wish Roma was in a better position, or at least what they were last year.
Yeah.
Because Roma is a good squad, and Madrid is a little bit... They're definitely, squad-wise, they're great, but they're really not doing well as a team. Honestly, like these are one of those things where you realize you really have to have a good coach. It doesn't matter if you have really good players. You always need a solid coach. So, I don't know. There's a possibility that Roma could pull it out. I mean, if they can just have some defensive plays. But I don't know. I don't see them really getting out of this. Real Madrid is probably going to get past them. I don't see Madrid as one of the favorites anymore because of how much they've dropped off. But you never know. If they can turn it on, if Ronaldo can start scoring buckets again.
Buckets.
You never know what can happen. I mean, he already has. But we really need to see the test now in the knockout stage.
Yep.
PSG versus Chelsea.
This is actually probably my favorite of
the It's great draft. And terrible. I will say the one reason why it's terrible is because it's the exact same matchup as last year. But PSG is a lot stronger. Chelsea is a lot weaker.
Yeah.
But Chelsea has... They want to get revenge. Chelsea was one of the favorites last year, and they went out. I mean, for those who don't remember, the second leg was at Stamford Bridge. Zlatan Ibrahimovic. In what was like the 30th minute or maybe the 60th minute, I forgot, he got a red card, so he was out. So not only one of your best players, probably your best player was out, you were down to 10 men. It went to extra time, and still PSG was able to pull out the win, or I think it was a draw, but that got them to the next level. They're flying in the league. They don't have to worry about it. They could rest all their players.
It would be very hard to bet with Chelsea at this point, right? I mean, given Chelsea's poor form, given PSG's flying form right now, it'd be very hard to bet against PSG.
And I think with Chelsea, a lot of people were saying, okay, they had a good result in Champs League. They got through Champs League. This is where it starts up again. We've talked about it already. I don't think anyone ever expected this, but more so, a lot of people like me just don't understand how this is still happening. Actually, going back to the same thing with Real Madrid, they have such quality players, it goes down to the coach. You still need a coach, even if you have incredible players. And this is a team that's the only thing they have going for them is this fixture is a couple months away. Maybe over the winter break or something, they can pull something together and be a manageable squad. And
yeah,
they've done okay.
If they change coach though before this matchup, like that's huge. Although I think the match has been February, right?
I think it's
not for a while, but still, I mean, you're talking about if they change coaches, you have a coach who's in there for a month and a half, maybe before this matchup. So, you know,
who knows? It could be positive, though, because I think right now Mourinho is a negative influence on the team.
Yep.
Either way, though, PSG, you would have never said this before the start of the season, or probably wouldn't. They're clear favorites at this point. And honestly, I think they could have beaten Madrid twice, but they didn't. So that goes for that. The next one is Arsenal versus Barcelona, another matchup that happened last year.
Yeah.
First off, I got to say, Arsenal just gets shitty matchup after shitty matchup. They do, like, yeah. I don't know. The Gunners just, they cannot catch a break. Now, admittedly, I don't think they have a chance of winning the Champs League. So at the end of the day, you have to beat the best. I don't see
them passing Barcelona.
But
it's unfortunate that they drew them this early, but. It's kind of like Milan had that issue with drawing Barcelona, in the first round of the knockout stage. Yeah.
Like, we've faced them a lot of times. Yeah. I feel in the same way.
I mean, for you, man. Kevin, I feel for you, man.
Yeah, shout out to Kevin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously not to be cocky, but I think we should win this. Arsenal is a strong team. The thing is, they're strong in attack, but they show up some days and they don't show up the other days. I mean, when you match up, you know, Giroud, Walcott, and I don't know, whoever else is up front versus Suarez, Messi, and Neymar, it's really tough to see them being able to break through that. I do think it'll still be a good game, though, because Arsenal has put up a fight a bunch of times, but I just don't see them getting past at all. And I think as a team, Barcelona, we've slipped up recently, but overall, we still look really good this year. So I don't see this going any other way other than a Barcelona win. Juventus Bayern Munich. This is out of the top teams. This is easily one of the best matchups.
Yes and no. I mean, Juve's starting to find their form now. They have a pretty good roster. You know, they were not the Juventus of the last 2 years, though.
That's true.
So I think if this was last year, I would have been a lot more impartial to this.
Nobody thought that, even as strong as they were, nobody thought Juventus could beat Real Madrid, and they did.
Yeah.
And even though we beat them in the final, like, they put up a fight. It was 1-1 for a decent amount of time. Munich, the other thing is, I mean, Pep has to win this. At least to, whatever. I mean, he's still won the league every year, but this is the team he has to show that he can win.
Yeah.
I think Munich's going to go by.
I think so. I think so.
It'll be interesting to see, though, what's his name will be back. Wow. Chilean. Well, from Juventus, who went to Bayern Munich.
Vidal,
yeah. It'll be interesting to see him go back to his old club, I guess. Seems funny to say. But, I definitely feel like Bayern are the heavy favorites. But Juve can be a scrappy team, and they're doing pretty well in the league-ish. So it'll be an interesting matchup for sure. PSV Atletico Madrid. I don't see how PSV gets by Atletico. Atletico's a really strong team. Yep. I think they're underestimated consistently. I don't think people ever think they can get as far Atletico? As they do. Yeah.
Yeah, they're tied top of this. Of
yeah, and I still don't think people are talking about them very much, but whatever. Either way, Atletico, I don't see them. They're going to get past, and I want to see how far they can get, because it's been a couple of years since they got to the finals.
Yeah.
A couple of years since they got to the finals.
Yeah.
Next, Benfica versus Zenit. This could be an interesting matchup.
I like Zenit. I think they always tend to have very, very good attacking football.
But this year especially, like in the group stage, it was absurd. Right. And I think they're flying in the league, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I'll have to look it up. But we're looking at two kind of evenly matched teams. I think this could actually be an interesting battle. And it's one of those things is it's sometimes tough to watch because, I mean, I'm sure we're all in the same boat that we don't really know that many players. I mean, Dave probably knows more people on Benfica because they're Portuguese. But either way, okay, I actually totally lied. Zenit is fifth in the Russian league. CSKA Moscow is first. So they're not exactly flying, but they're doing really well in Champs League. But this could be an interesting matchup to see how far they can get versus, you know,
Benfica, and see
how far they can go. Their real tests are, you know, are coming up. And then we're going to the final matchup, Man City versus Dynamo Kiev. I guess it's an interesting matchup. I think City.
Yeah, but City never does well in Champions League.
That's true. But they've also had some pretty tough draws, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think City.
This is the year for City to make a charge.
They have to. Yeah, I completely agree with that. Oh, and a quick thing I want to say about this, the interesting matchup. Now, City finished first in their group. Juventus finished second. Juventus is facing Bayern Munich. Man City's playing Dynamo Kiev.
Yep.
That shows placing first makes a very big difference.
They should not have dropped points in that last game, and this is what happens.
So
you screw over Italy for the whole thing. So thank you, Juve, once again.
So for you guys, what are the games you're definitely watching? Let's say top three.
So PSG Chelsea, that to me seems like it could go either way. That there's a lot of big storylines that are going on there. I always love watching Ibra play, and I don't watch him in the league too much. So that's and just to see how Chelsea and Mourinho do, especially under all this pressure, assuming that Mourinho is still there. so that's very interesting to me. Juve, Bayern Munich, and Roma Madrid, only because I have vested interest in how Italian teams do. And then also, I think the city Dynamo Kiev is a close fourth too.
What do you think, Dave? What do you mean,
two games I'd probably want to watch the most would be on the same day is the Arsenal Barcelona match, just because one of the Arsenal's a popular Premier League team. Yeah. They have a strong attack. Exactly.
Yeah.
If Sanchez is back, I think they'll be. I mean, that's a while away, so he should be, hopefully, unless something happened. But that game and then the Bayern-Juve game, I mean, I think outside Juve being bad this year, that could be a Champions League final match in most years.
Yeah,
so those two I'd really probably want to watch the most. I mean, the other ones, I mean, yeah, a couple of the Madrid-Roma games should be okay, but I mean, I don't think either of them have a shot of winning the whole thing. Definitely not Roma, but yeah. So that those two would probably be the two I'd like to watch.
Sean, love forget.
I mean, obviously Barcelona I'm going to watch, but let's set that aside because obviously I'm going to watch that. I definitely agree. PSG Chelsea will be interesting. And Bayern Munich Juve, those are definitely top two. I still want to see Roma Madrid because I don't know which way this Madrid team is going. I just don't know anybody on Ghent. I think I'd rather watch Wolfsburg and Man City. I mean, it'll just be cool to watch. I think they'll do pretty well. But I think the best three matches overall are probably the Barcelona, Arsenal, Chelsea, Paris, and Bayern Munich, Juventus. Yeah. And we'll see. So do you guys have picks for who's going to get through it?
Rob, for the next round?
Yep.
I'm going to go Ghent. Let's see, man.
Okay.
I'm going to go Ghent, Madrid, PSG, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Atletico, Zenit, and City.
I think I'd agree with that.
Benfica, Zenit, I think that's a toss-up, honestly. Yeah. PSG, I think we'll get by Chelsea, especially the way they're playing. Barcelona, obviously, is going to beat Arsenal, I think. Wolfsburg, Madrid, Roma, I still think could be interesting. I mean, Madrid's been playing pretty bad. I think Roma could beat them, but I don't think Madrid will win.
The problem is Roma's been playing.
Roma's going to get a draw at home, and I think they're going to get smashed at Madrid.
Yeah, I mean that game. I think is one of the few that I think could kind, other than the Juve Bayern game, could kind of go either way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, most of the other
teams. I hope so. If Juve and Roma can get results, it'd be huge for Italy. So.
I love this whole positioning of.
Can I go into this?
Yeah.
So, do you have any other results different?
Nope.
Okay, so I do want to bring up a few. They also had the Europa League draw this week, and I wanted to bring up a few key matches. Right, so there are a few very interesting, like high profile ones. Tottenham is playing Fiorentina, bigger team, like pretty big teams in both England and Italy. Villarreal and Napoli should be a pretty good game. Dortmund v Porto should also be a pretty good game. Lazio Galatasaray, I think, could actually be decent. The other two games I wanted to bring up are United versus some Denmark team that I'm not even going to try to pronounce, and then Liverpool versus Augsburg from Germany.
Yeah.
So this is why this is interesting, right? So I know I keep bringing back, and Dave hates. He doesn't think it's a big deal. So. Right now, the UEFA coefficient that determines who gets more Champions League spots, right? England is 3.4 points or so up as it stands right now, including all the results that happened, right? At the end of this year, so going into next calendar year, England is going to drop 4 points to Italy, right? So if things stood the way they were now, Italy, providing they could outpace England next year, would get a Champions League spot back the following year. That's huge.
That is
for
huge.
Many reasons.
Yeah, but what if England right now looks like
so
England could?
This is why this draw was so England... shitty for Italy, right? Is because Roma got Madrid,
oh God,
which is unlikely, and Juve got Bayern. Those are the two Champions League
so
teams.
So realistically, it's not going to happen for another 3 to 4 years minimum.
No, I don't think that's true at all because Italy has more points.
But it's already in a year in advance. It wouldn't be next year, though. It would be the year after.
It's fine. Who cares?
But that's already 2 years. That's
it. It doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter because as long as we get the spot back, then it's a matter of keeping it instead of trying to get it back again. And then it might be another 2 or 3 years before you have a chance to do it again, because we had two or three years where we had four point better results than you, than England. So the bigger things, though, is I think outside of City, who has probably the best chance of winning out of Italy and England in the Champs League, the Europa League draws screwed Italy because Napoli got Villarreal, Fiorentina got Tottenham, while United got that Danish team and Liverpool got the mediocre German team. And those are the results at the end of the day, because Europa League is where Italy got a lot of those points back in the last couple of years because they've done very well. And that's exactly where we're going to drop points because of these shitty draws that we got.
If Man U loses to FC Michelin, will LVG be fired?
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually still don't think so, just because there aren't
enough
people.
On the spot.
You have no one to hire. You have no one else to hire. But anyway,
Giggs.
I just wanted to point out that there's this other subplot going on between Italy and England that I don't think is getting as much attention.
No one else really cares except for Rob.
I disagree. I think
they can get an extra spot, but it's not going to mean
anything. You say that, and the year after you lose a spot, you're going to finish in fourth, and you're not going to be in Champs League.
Finish in fourth place, chances of us winning Champs League isn't very high anyway.
That's not true at all.
It is true.
No, it's not.
I think it's difficult to win, especially right now. I don't know if this is like a common trend, but it feels like there's a certain number of much stronger teams that are much further ahead than everybody else for whatever reason. And that differentiation makes it really hard for lower teams to win, especially when you don't have that quality of a team. I think that subplot is definitely important. It's tough because you're still seeing 3 and 4 teams from these leagues. So you still need to do decently well.
Yeah, but
for
a team like Milan and like United, who are not contending for the title and who are looking at...
Exactly, and that's why I'm saying I think it's big for only a subset of certain league teams.
Well, 2/3 of the people at this podcast, it matters.
But
granted, we're not freaking Barcelona winning the goddamn league every year, Sean.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I got a different... I'm out of it, because honestly, you're saying if England loses the spot and Man U finishes 4th or 5th and they don't get that spot, like, it's going to be a big deal. But
it's
honestly,
a huge deal.
For me, I'm a hardcore Man U fan. If they finish 4th and 5th and don't get a champ spot, I would be like, they fucking suck anyway.
Are you serious?
They suck anyway. Like now. I'm freaking
being
pissed.
In Champs League and not being in Champs League
Man
is a huge
fucking
deal.
Man U just got knocked out of group stage, and I already think they're going to lose the league because of it. Like, they have no chance of winning the league.
Right, so you realize how important Champs
League
is.
So if they were in 4th place and didn't get Champs League, I'd be like, good, they don't deserve to be in Champs League anyway. LVG sucks.
That's such bull. No. Champs League is so important for top clubs. So you can't tell me that not being in Champs League makes a difference, because it makes
for
a huge
multiple
difference.
Years, yeah.
It makes a huge difference,
for
and it makes a huge difference
year,
for getting
for
players,
year.
How much money you're bringing in, and how well you think your team is doing.
Man, you missed Champs League 1 year, and they're still able to get players and get back in the next. So I don't think, unless you're not in Champs League.
Look at your lineup right now.
they're probably missed Champs League this year. But
all
unless you miss
say,
Champs League.
You're not allowed to talk. Ghent is in the knockout phase. Ghent. We got Ghent.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that was a rousing end to this podcast, so that'll do it. Now, for those who are listening to it concurrently, you'll know that the Euro draw also happened recently. We didn't have enough time to talk about it, but we will.
Italy got screwed again. That's the story of that. Italy teams get constantly screwed because UEFA and FIFA are just against
Italy.
Italy
bias over here, Rob.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Sepp Blatter.
Every year. We're in the group of death. We get Spain. We get Barcelona in every friggin' tournament.
Okay, apparently we are doing it.
Ridiculous.
No. So next week we're actually going to cover the Euro draw, because it did happen this week and we do want to go over it because it's a huge tournament. So we will get into that next week, but that'll do it that'll do it for this week. If you can, check us out. We are Kiss the Crest, the podcast on iTunes. Please rate and subscribe to us. You can also find us on thecommentist.com, where you can find out some other great podcasts like The Bearded Vegans and
Roll the Hit.
So
I don't get screwed and Roll the Hit. That's actually pretty good for me.
Sometimes you do. Some of those roles. But we hope to see you next week.
Thanks.